For a year-end tax-deductible gift of $250 or more to Issues Etc., we'll send you our new book, Objections Overruled, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, and a recording of 15 Epiphany Hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org, or you could also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Satan would have used the horrors of war to rip me away from the faith. But here right now, Christ is coming with his medicine of immortality to heal that and to remind me all is forgiven.
He literally comes to where we are in our sin to lift us out of it. And that's what the joy of repentance is.
Off-the-record sources always have axes to grind, and they usually know what next they would like to use the axes on. You have no way to know what the sources of the report are and how much validity to give to them.
It's that single word from the cross. It is finished. My forgiveness is as certain as the fact that Christ has died for the world.
In about 15 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Those four soundbites in their entirety. After you've listened, you give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. In the meantime, we're going to talk about two issues with Wesley Smith, Senior Fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, a globalist political philosophy called the Great Reset, and a corona vaccine and fetal tissue. Wesley Smith is a regular guest. He's an attorney and consultant to the Patients' Rights Council, author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Due Harm Medicine, and he's columnist for National Review Online. Wesley, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. This idea of the Great Reset predates the pandemic, but how has coronavirus breathed new life into this idea?
Well, when you have a catastrophe, the people who wish to basically remake the entire infrastructure of human existence see the opportunity to seize the moment and not only use the pandemic as an excuse, but to hitch, if you will, the pandemic onto other issues that they actually favor. What struck me, and the reason I wrote this piece in the Epoch Times on the Great Reset, is that Dr. Anthony Fauci, who, you know, I think everybody in this country knows who he is, and I'm not casting aspersion on him in terms of his desire to do well in terms of ending the pandemic, but he wrote a couple of months ago in a journal called Cell, which is a science journal, that we needed to strengthen the UN and the WHO to, quote, rebuild the infrastructure of human existence from cities to homes to workplaces to water and sewer systems to recreational and gathering venues. It's a remarkable hubris that the Great Reset, which is being led by the Davos crowd, is undertaking. The idea that somehow through a centralized international technocracy that is ruled by experts, we can fix the entirety of what is wrong in their view with the current system of capitalism, with the current system of nationalism and national sovereignty, and move into a globalist utopianism that I just think is folly and that I think would end up constraining liberty and certainly not expanding it.
So in a nutshell, what is this idea, the Great Reset?
The Great Reset is something being pushed again by the international group, the World Economic Forum, and others. And well, let me show you what they consider the pandemic to be a silver lining to demonstrate, quote, how quickly we can make radical changes to our lifestyle. So here's the gig. When the pandemic first hit and we were told to shelter in place, if you remember, in order to flatten the curve, which ended up being about a 6-week period of time, the people cooperated with that because we wanted to make sure that hospitals were not flooded with new cases. And because we went along with that, these technocrats now say, well, if people would be willing to do that, what else might they be willing to do? And so they start talking again about, in these very grandiose terms, about doing things such as curing global warming with the same kind of techniques that they're using and advocating in the pandemic. In other words, mandatory changes in human behavior, mandatory remaking of our methods of gathering, our methods of transportation, our methods of housing. And it is really a remarkable thing. And then you have the usual Hollywood crowd and the celebrity set in favor of it. For example, Prince Charles, long live the Queen, is in favor of this. You have Prince Harry and his wife, Markle, talking about this as well. You also have the Pope saying that we need to strengthen the United Nations so that global governance can have greater teeth. So you have a lot of very powerful and very influential people who really wish to create a centralized control on an international level that would transform the very means of capitalism, the very means of the way we travel, the way we deal with each other as people. It is a hubristic and almost all-encompassing desire to basically seize control of all of Western life.
Wesley, why don't the architects of and the fans of this kind of globalist philosophy, why don't they ever seem to realize, or maybe they do, that in order to actually implement this on a global scale would require essentially a totalitarian government?
Because they think they're good people. This is, you know, Smith on their motives. They think they're good people, and I believe they are well motivated. They don't want to. That's not like the Third Reich wanting to crush minorities and Jews and so forth. But you're absolutely right. For them to accomplish this incredible, vast change would require, at the very least, a soft authoritarianism that would compel us to go along. And here's my fear, Todd. It isn't that the government would pass laws and throw people in concentration camps and so forth, but that the private sector will be engaged as enforcers of the new approaches to life. And we're already beginning to see that. We're seeing that people who express views that are deemed outside of the orthodoxy about the pandemic, for example, will be censored by social media. You see it in a relatively minor form that you can't go grocery shopping unless you wear a mask. Well, that's not a hill to die on, in my opinion, because the intrusion is very minimal in terms of personal liberty. But what if they say you can't go into a grocery store unless you prove you've taken the vaccine? There are a lot of people talking about doing that. Or what if they say you can't get on a bus unless you've taken the vaccine? Or you can't get on a bus unless you prove somehow that, let's say, you've changed your home so that it emits less carbon and so forth? Because a lot of this is about global warming. That's the big issue lurking behind the COVID issue. And so when you get the idea of private sector working hand in glove with the orthodox views of the ruling set and of the Davos class, you end up with the potential for a despotism and authoritarianism that begins to look more like China than the United States. And by that I mean not putting the Uyghurs in the concentration camps, which is god-awful and for which China should be shunned as a gross abuser of human rights, but their social credit system. In China, they're developing a system that if you do the right things, you get rewarded, you get a high social credit score. So maybe your rent is lowered, or maybe you're able to get a better job, or your kid can get in school. But if you do the wrong thing, and you end up with social credit demerits, and by the way, that includes going to church and or talking to somebody with low social credit, not only can you lose your apartment, not only can you lose your job, but your children could be punished. It's social excommunication. And so when you see these people who wink at what China does, by the way, basically calling for this kind of overarching authority to change everything about Western civilization, because that's what we're talking about, you begin to think, well, how would they do that? And the way they would do that is precisely what China is developing in that social credit system, where private and public would work hand in glove to either shame you or force you to go along with what is deemed the, quote, right, close quote, approach. And it's quite frightening. And it's certainly not the idea of individual rights that we're used to as a Western civilization.
It sounds eerily like the predictions made by Rod Dreher in his latest book, Live Not by Lies, of soft totalitarianism.
I think I know Rod a little bit, I think he is on to something in terms of that. And what really strikes me, I haven't read his book yet, but what really strikes me in, when I've read his blog is how he quotes people from Eastern Europe who went through the communist totalitarianism and how they see similarities with today. That being said, I don't believe we will develop the kind of gulag culture that, you know, existed in Russia, Romania, and those kinds of places. I think rather than a gulag oppression, it will be a social oppression, a shaming oppression, a shunning oppression, one that does not involve imprisoning people or killing people, but does involve canceling them, as we've seen cancel culture already. That is, keeping them from getting good jobs, keeping them from going to school, keeping them from being able to fully participate in society as their talents might take them.
Wesley, during the pandemic, the phrase trust the science has become very popular and almost kind of a panacea phrase. What do you make of that saying?
I think it's a way to stifle free discussion. Because science isn't one thing. Science is actually about constantly questioning existing beliefs and existing interpretations and what is thought to be known. Just as a classic example, talking about continental drift, there was a time when the person who proposed the theory of continental drift was laughed out of science because there was no indication, according to the orthodox view, that the continents drifted. Well, we now know that precisely what happened. And if you say follow the science and you say that heterodox scientific hypotheses have no place in the discussion or differing interpretations of existing data have no place in the discussion, what you're doing is you're actually stifling science because that's not how science works. And it's also to say that the favored belief is the one that's going to be imposed, which also has nothing to do with science. And in a democratic society, we should have the right to think and learn and hear from people with varying views. Nobody has a monopoly on wisdom. And the follow the science trope is basically saying only one opinion, only one side of an issue has enough legitimacy to be heard. And that's just simply should be rejected out of hand.
Let's talk a little bit about a possible vaccine for coronavirus. There are many contenders, but the one that seems to be leading the race, so to speak, is being offered by the drug company Pfizer. There are people who are deeply concerned about the vaccine, apart from any political considerations, about how it is actually developed, some of them perhaps using fetal cell lines or fetal tissue, even from abortions. What do we know about this one?
Right. There are two candidates now that appear on the verge of being approved with an emergency go-ahead in terms of the vaccine. One is by Pfizer, as you mentioned, and one is by Moderna. And when those announcements were made, because I know that many people who are pro-lifers, you know, really don't want to participate in taking vaccines if fetal tissue from abortions were used in, for example, culturing the virus for use in testing and for use in making the vaccine. So I looked it up. And by the way, I didn't do any original research. I relied on Charlotte Lozier Institute, which is a very respected pro-life research institute. Particularly, I rely on my friend David Prentice, who I believe has been on your show. And the Charlotte Lozier Institute did a chart of the various vaccines and whether or not they use these fetal tissues from, and by the way, the cell lines are from abortions from decades ago. And these two, the Moderna one and the Pfizer one, did not use fetal tissue in making the vaccine in any regard. The Charlotte Lozier Institute has said in their list that this is ethical. So I'm relying on them because I trust them, and I certainly trust David Prentice to give the straight scoop on that situation and that question.
Wesley, how do you respond to somebody who says, look, it's the vaccine for the virus and it's going to save so many lives? Considerations about how they made it should probably just pale by comparison to the fact that it's going to stop the virus. What would you say?
Well, I would say that people have to decide those issues for themselves. You know, one of the things I don't think we have time to get into it, I'm worried about, is that there would be a vaccine mandate. I think better is if these are good vaccines, then you let people know as much about them as possible so that they can make the proper decision for themselves. And if a pro-lifer is worried about taking a vaccine in which fetal tissue is used from an abortion, and they would find that unethical, forcing them to take that vaccine, to me, would be absent really compelling need, would be a profound injustice and a profound violation of human freedom. Now, we're not talking about smallpox with the COVID. It's a very serious disease. I'm trying to avoid getting it. But unless you're elderly and have a high comorbidities, the chances of you dying from it are very remote. And even of getting seriously ill are remote. Now, of course, some people do. But are we going to say that only a particular point of view is legitimate, or are we going to let people have as much information as possible, have as much transparency as possible, so they can make their own choices? The reason that David Prentice and Charlotte Lozier went to the very extensive effort to research their list, and by the way, they used peer-reviewed science journal articles to obtain their information. The reason they did that is because they respect freedom. Some people would say, I don't care if you use tissue from children as long as it's going to protect us. Some people would be that crass. Other people have different opinions. And we need to respect that and allow people to make these kinds of choices for themselves, particularly with regard to this circumstance where we have a pandemic. But at the same time, there are people who are really beginning to resist the idea that the pandemic should be an excuse for doing away with human liberty and Western freedoms. And the best way to do that is to get the information out. And I applaud David Prentice and Charlotte Lozier for making this list so people can make these kinds of decisions for themselves.
Wesley Smith is senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's an attorney and consultant to the Patients' Rights Council, author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Do Harm Medicine, and columnist for National Review Online. You'll find a link to his columns on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Wesley, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
We'll be playing Soundbite of the Week when we come back from this break live this Friday, November the 20th. We've got our four soundbites lined up for you. One from Jake Demick, Memories of War and the Lord's Supper. Two from Pastor Will Whedon, Did Jesus Love Prostitutes and Tax Collectors Just as They Were? Soundbite number three is from Terry Mattingly, Why Journalists Need Sources on the Record. And soundbite number four, Dr. Daniel Pavola on How Do I Know That God Forgives Me in Particular? We'll be right back. For a year-end tax-deductible gift of $250 or more to Issues Etc., we'll send you our new book, Objections Overruled, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, and a recording of 15 Epiphany hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org, or you can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
This is a message for pastors and lay leaders of Missouri Synod congregations. As we enter the last quarter of 2020, how are you doing and how's your church doing? What has the COVID lockdown done to your attendance and giving? In 25% of our churches, giving's actually gone up. So why are some churches struggling and others thriving? Here at LCMS Stewardship and the whole Office of National Mission team, we have answers and we have help for you and your church today. LCMS.org/stewardship.
You eat his body and you drink his blood? That's the same surprise that many people had when they first heard about the Christian faith and the practice of communion and partaking of Christ's body and blood from the altar. The November issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about the Lord's Supper, our fellowship together, our fellowship with other church bodies, and the practice of close communion. Pick up your copy today to learn more at cph.org/witness. You can also visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
If only we could see and hear what takes place in the divine service. The holy God's voice pours out eternal gifts. Sinners are washed in cleansing water that saves them from death. The Son of God gives his body and blood for us, the food of immortality. The church on earth blends her voice with angels and saints in glory to praise our God. These wondrous mysteries take place at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Stevensville, Montana, 184 Pine Hollow Road. Call 406-777-5625 or find us on Facebook.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people, by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.